Three, two, one.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Time for another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. So great to have Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney in the studio again. Hello.
Hello again. How goes it?
It's going great. Yeah, good. Middle of summer, as we've said, it's just such a great time to be in Milwaukee. Plenty of time for lots of great adventures.
Oh, yes, indeed. That just kind of brings us really quickly right to our theme for this week of stories, which is Don't Try This at Home. We have a lot of interesting stories in our canon about people who have really pushed the limits of like adrenaline fixes and, you know, just putting themselves out in the line. And this week's stories are a little bit more centered at home. So we're going to get into those in a little bit. I have to ask you, do you have any daredevil stories you want to share?
I don't want to get too gross, but one of them involved losing a toenail.
All right.
Biking, and when the brakes didn't work, had to use the foot, and flip-flops and biking and pavement don't all go together. So
yeah, mine's kind of similar. I was living in Park Slope, slope being the key word in that sentence, Brooklyn, and I got a new pair of rollerblades. And decided I wanted to start rollerblading to work in the morning. So one morning, 4:30 in the morning, I put my skates on and I start going downhill and velocity takes over and there's no grass in Brooklyn for the most part. So I ended smashing up against a light pole just to stop myself from like going into oncoming traffic.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so, that was a heck of a way to wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
How did the light pole fare then?
Oh, who cares?
Yeah. Jeez, that sounds like that could have had a much more tragic ending to it. Yeah.
So before we get into the stories, I do have an announcement. We have exciting news. We are bringing back the Equal Access Project, which we're so excited to announce because this is the second year that we're doing this. And it aims to amplify the voices and stories of individuals with disabilities. And I will be happy to get into more details about that in a couple minutes. But, you know, why keep people in suspense? Let's get on with the stories.
Indeed. So first up, another one involving a bike.
Yes. This story is from Bill Stevens, who first told it in February of 2016 at our Story Slam, which was themed Fatherhood. Here's Bill Stevens.
This story is not about my father, and it's not about my two sons. It's about some 10-year-old kid that I met one time, didn't know him, haven't seen him since, but I had the opportunity to pass along some fatherly advice, some wisdom that I had gained somewhere before then. I would pass it along to this little kid. Had to do with riding a bike, which I do around my neighborhood. And I have at least three bad habits when riding a bike. I don't wear a helmet generally. I learned to ride a bike before helmets were invented. Helmets didn't make sense to me, all right? I'm old school. Second, I rarely touch the handlebars with my hands. I can ride without doing that. Roads are straight and flat, not too tough. Third thing I do whenever I see kids playing in the street, I'll ride by and I say, hey, throw me it, I'm open. And then they generally look at each other and run up the driveway and say, stranger danger. And I pedal off before the mom can come out and look for the perp that's talking to their kids. And there was one time I was riding along and I see a young kid playing catch with his dad, throwing the football back and forth. And I ride by and say, hey, throw me the ball, I'm open. And at that point, the world hit slow motion because I saw the kid throw the ball to his dad. His dad grabbed the ball without looking, spun it in his hands, looking for the laces. He took a five-step drop, knowing he's going deep. And right then, I could tell he'd played quarterback somewhere, probably like an SEC school, you know, Ole Miss or Auburn. Had those two first names like Billy Ray or Bobby Joe. So he grabs a ball and he flings it and he had a tight spiral, quick release, and the ball heads up into the trees and it's gone for a second or two and then it comes down from the trees And I'm pedaling along, and the first thing I think of is that I can catch this. And I'm pedaling, and right as I reach out and I stretch my hands out, and I see all 8 fingers touch the ball as the ball slides through my fingers, and at just that moment, my front tire, all by itself, takes a 90-degree turn, and the bike and I head up some guy's driveway and run smack dab into the back of his car. The bike stops where it is. I do not. I went flying off the bike, and I landed on either my handlebars or the trunk of the car, or both. And as bad as the dismount was, I stuck the landing, because I think I was in the fetal position before I even touched the ground, and I landed in a lump right in the middle of the lawn. And I sat there for a second, and then I heard footsteps, and I heard somebody yell, "He just rode into a parked car." And I know this is not good. So I look out of one eye, and I see the two, the kid and the dad, are now leaning over me. And I saw this as a teaching moment. I said, "Kid, I was so stupid. Do not do what I did. You know, I was an idiot. You got to learn from my mistake here." Then I look at the dad, and I say, "Pal, I am so sorry. It was the perfect toss. It was a touchdown all the way. I should have had it. It was all my fault." And then the mom comes running up, and I go, "Really?" To add to my humiliation. She says, "Oh, mister, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I think so. I think I'll be leaving now." And I could barely get out of my crouch, and I get on the bike, grab the handlebar with both hands, and I pedal away, vowing that I'll never do something so stupid in my life as I just did. And to this day, I have broken that vow only a couple dozen times, so I think I'm good. Thank you very much.
And that was Bill Stevens with his "Look, Mom, No Hands" bike story.
If you feel like you're in the Tour de France when you can ride your bike with no hands. Yes. But yeah, inevitably something like that is going to go wrong.
Yes. Well, here's some stuff that's going right. We did speak a little bit about our Equal Access Project that's coming back. Throughout the first year that we did this, we had many successes with it and learning opportunities. Like, did you know that there are only a handful of wheelchair accessible stages in the Milwaukee area? I mean, we're always looking out and trying to embed ourselves. So the Equal Access Project helped us understand that. And so the project, in partnership with various disability-focused organizations, really bring these issues to light while creating an inclusive and accessible environment for all. So, you know, our mission to strengthen community bonds through the art of storytelling. We are also working within the framework of recognizing the need to marry technology with accessibility. Like, for instance, attendees at the SLAMs can now access voting ballots and programs in Braille. Volunteers also work to caption YouTube videos, transcribe audio on the Xfabula website, and assist guests at Story Slams. So if you want to learn more about the Equal Access Project, you just like us on Facebook, of course, sign up for the Xfabula mailing list, and look out for future storytelling workshops and programming that's going to start in fall, which, by the way, right around the corner.
Oh, don't want to think about it. Want to stay in summertime. But what a cool project.
Yeah. It's been really successful, and we just want to keep moving in that direction. So,
fantastic. Speaking of moving in a particular direction,
yes,
we're going to take a walk off the beaten path right now.
Yes, we will. This story is from Christian Matson Alvarez, who enjoys walking around our fair city. So let's listen to his story that was originally told at an Oops Story Slam.
So I don't know if you guys have gotten coffee around here. You might have seen some flyers I put up. Bruce City Safari, you guys seen that before? Yeah? All right. I run Bruce City Safari, and I started that out with, when I 3 years ago, I had no money. I was broke. I was getting divorced. I was getting my house foreclosed on me. And you know what? I wanted to go for a walk. So I started going for these walks, like 8-9 miles, something like that. And people started wanting to come with me. So I said, yeah, fine. Come on. I'm a big believer in personal freedom. You want to come with? That's fine. I don't care. Whatever. And I like to point out, this is a cautionary tale for all you about not playing on the train tracks. So let's just table that for once. So I grew up on the East Coast. I love graffiti. I love seeing it everywhere. You see graffiti on train tracks, right? So I figure, you know what? Let's bring a bunch of people down to the train tracks, huh? So I have a friend of mine, and I really hope she doesn't hear this, because I tell this every single time. It's like my best story about my hikes. And every single time I tell it, it's kind of embarrassing for her, because this one hike, she decided to bring her 9-year-old kid. And I was like, nah, don't bring your kid with. It's not going to really be safe for the kid. But I'm, again, personal freedom. You're a parent. You make the decision. That's fine. Bring the kid. So I meet up about 6-7 people in an Arby's parking lot. There's a bridge. We're going to scale down. It's probably about a 20-foot drop. No big deal. It's September, too, and it starts downpouring. We're talking like monsoon season. You're getting drenched, all that stuff. And we got to slide down this incline, and it's a muddy hill. And in order to slide down, you got to scoot down on your butt. Mud plus your butt. So we're all walking down these train tracks like we had like the most explosive diarrhea you can ever think of. So as we're walking on the train tracks, I tell everybody, you know what? We're on these train tracks. Let's try to be safe. So let's try to walk into the side of the train tracks instead of on the train tracks. And people, for the most part, you know, they do that until probably about 5 minutes in. They say, oh, train tracks. Let's walk on it. Stand by me. All right. We start going down the train tracks, and we come across, they're like these ruins, these really cool-looking ruins. There's graffiti all over them. It looks really cool and mysterious and stuff. And her son starts running up ahead. That's fine. He's playing. We're looking behind us, looking ahead of us. No train's coming. Sure, you can go ahead and play. That's fine. So he darts up this hill, and like probably about, like, I don't know, maybe like 30 seconds after he goes up the hill, he comes running back down the hill. And falling right behind him is the mother from The Goonies, Mama Fratelli. And she's got a can of Beast Ice in her hand, and she's missing all her teeth. And she's chasing this kid out down the hill, and he's like running behind me, because 7-foot tall guy, and there's this toothless meth head in front of me, and she's like screaming at it, like, hey, why is that kid going up here? You better not be setting any more fires up here. There's 6 adults and a kid here. Are we taking this kid out to set fires to homeless people's camps or something? And I'm trying to get in between. Like, look, we're going for a walk here. We're not trying to, like, set fire to your stuff or anything. And she's, like, trying to, like, get him between me and, like, all these adults right here. So finally we're like, all right, let's just be cool. Let's go our separate ways. You go that way. I'll go this way. So we start continuing further down the train tracks. By the way, it's downpouring the entire time, too. Did I mention that? Yeah, it's still downpouring right here. We have to stop every, like, probably, like, 10 minutes or so and hide under a bridge so we don't get drenched. So we keep going on. We see gang signs and stuff, you know, Latin Kings, all that stuff. But anyway, so eventually we have to turn around, and we have to go back by where she was. And then when we finally, like, we have to sneakily go by where she is, and then we have to go back up that 20-foot hill. And then when we finally get past that 20-foot hill, we walk through a construction site. And when we get out of the construction site, there's a big sign behind us that says, this is federal property. You can't walk through here, blah, blah, blah. You could get arrested, blah, blah, blah. And there's 2 construction guys just looking at us. And all we can do is just wave. Oops.
And that was Christian Mattson Alvarez with his oops story that he told back in 2015, which is, don't try this at home.
And I just love that pouring rain to boot. That reminds me of a lot of my walks growing up, where I'd take a walk in the woods and then I'd end up in someone's driveway. And it would be like, whoa, how did I get here? But, yeah. You know, I just love exploring places that you think you know, but you don't really know them until you check every little trail and every little alley that there is out there.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody about, like, urban walking as opposed to nature walking. I think a lot of people would choose to do nature hiking and walking, but I've always been an urban walker. So I live in Bayview, and I have a tendency, just if I need to get my shoes on and start going, I'll go straight down KK, and I'll go up to the east side or even further sometimes, knowing that I could always just take a bus home or something. I just like the action.
Well, this has been another fast episode. Well, it's been great getting to know our city a little bit better. And once again, the disclaimer, don't try this at home, kids.
Yes, so true, so true. Thanks so much for having me, Rachel.
Thanks again, Leah. See you next week.
Okay.